On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief. Eyewear shouldn't break the bank. It's the smart way to buy glasses. GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their own home and offers a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices and with no risk. And these aren't generic frames. These are brands like Ray-Ban, Oakley, Tom Ford, and Calvin Klein. So head on over to GlassesUSA.com, use promo code ALMIGHTY, that's promo code ALMIGHTY, and get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. Again, GlassesUSA.com, promo code ALMIGHTY.
Comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of?
They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 436 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I am your host, Ryan McCallum, and with me, as always, and I was going to say, with me as always tonight, but I don't know if this is going up tonight or tomorrow or 2 days from now, but whenever this does go up, Jose Grijalva is going to be there chatting at you straight into your ear hole. Jose, hello, man. How's it going? Say hello to all your fans. They're here to see you.
I'm cranky today. I'm cutting, aka also known as dieting. I ate green beans with chili and some beans, and I'm craving pizza. I'm craving like Circle guts. K pizza. New Circle K opened up here. It's one of those fancy ones where like they have somebody make the food for you. You know, you order it on that little computer, and you know, in 10 minutes they make it for you. So I'm craving a pizza from there and the little sandwiches and I mean everything. So.
Circle K, like the gas station Circle K?
Yeah.
So they have like a little screen where you like you can get a breakfast taco with some jalapeno. You can like customize the taco. Is that what you're saying?
It's like sandwiches, like sub sandwiches. They make pizzas, hamburgers, and breakfast burritos and burritos just in general.
Okay.
So you could customize it if you want.
We've got a place over here called Bucky's that does that, where it's these like mega gas stations, and you can go up in Bucky's, you can get like anything you want, and probably behind Bucky's, you can get even more of what you want. But they have the same kind of thing where it's a little like touch screen, and you can customize whatever food you want. I've never seen that before, certainly not of a Circle K. Like my only memories of a Circle K was I grew up in Bay City, Texas, and we drive into Houston, which is like the big city, right? That was the closest to us, and we have to pass through this town called Rosenberg. And there was a Circle K in Rosenberg that had an arm wrestling video game. And me and my brother, it had like an arm sticking out of the arcade game. And you had to arm wrestle that thing. And me and my brother would just dominate that game. Since then, I've just become really weak. But back in my heyday, I used to kill it at the Circle K in Rosenberg. Good story, right?
Bucky's, I just had this, you know, imagery in my mind where I'm just picturing this big old guy missing a bunch of teeth, you know, having a grill in front of him, just you know ordering stuff. And I don't know,
well, it's kind of this, it is kind of like that. It's Bucky's, though. I think Bucky is the name of the beaver, like it's a mascot as a beaver. And they've got anything. Like, do you literally, you never heard of Bucky's? I mean, because it's, when I say these mega gas stations, there's like 200 gas pumps at this place. It's like a little shopping mall, or like, what happened to Garden Ridge Pottery? They probably made them all into Bucky's.
The only, like, Texas gas station I know would be Valero, just because of the Spurs. So.
And the Selena Cups. No, that was Stripes.
Yeah.
That you got your Selena Cups. So how did you do that? You ordered Selena Cups. So for listeners, I know this isn't good. This isn't a good podcast system, so you can't see what we're talking about. But Stripes had limited edition Selena Cups for, I'm sure it's for Fiesta La Flor, and it's like the 20 year anniversary, right? I mean, it's coming up on it. Is it not already the 20? I don't remember when the anniversary was, but I mean, it's been a long time. And they came out with limited edition cups, and then Jose hits me up on text and says, hey, can you get me two of these cups from Stripes? And I say, no, we don't have Stripes this far north. But did you order them? Did you like go to Stripes.com and order Selena cups to get mailed to you in Arizona?
No, I got it from eBay.
See, man, that's just like South Texas. They buy up that stuff and then put it on eBay. Everybody's trying to make a buck.
I guess so.
So now
I can enjoy my frosty cold beverages, ginger ale.
Yeah, because it's no beer for you because you said you're cutting. So I saw in your text or on your was it Facebook? I'm connected to you in so many ways now. On your Twitter, right? You're leg pressing 1,000 pounds now or getting close.
No. 900. My max is 1,000. So and I haven't done that. And it's extremely hard when you don't have any energy. So I mean, I was doing that. Then I went to do chest, and then I was just I was dead. And I still had an hour to go. So but you know, I came. Of course, I had to do this, right? Legal obligations. I think it's under contract to do this, so I couldn't back out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no backing out because we have a bit of news to talk about today. You know, of course. Between the last podcast and in this one, we had a pretty big event where Kawhi Leonard came back, scored his 30 points, which is just amazing. But come back, Spurs win, not surprising, and they beat Atlanta and they move a half a game ahead of Golden State in the West and take over the number one overall seed. So you know, Kawhi had the concussion protocol. That could have been a variety of things. It could have been, you know, he said he just wasn't feeling right, so maybe they put him through that protocol. I don't think there was an actual impact or something that they can tie it back to and say, this is how you got a concussion. So it could have masked just a general need for rest, which I totally get. I mean, Kawhi's playing a ridiculous amount of minutes, and maybe the most he's played for San Antonio in his career, and maybe just need a little bit of a break. But he comes back, 30 points, does his thing. But then they lose LaMarcus Aldridge similarly, right? So for the Golden State game, you know, no LaMarcus Aldridge, no Kawhi, and LaMarcus had stayed out for a few games in a row, and it was indefinite when he was going to come back because he had a heart arrhythmia, right, is what they called it?
Yeah, irregular heartbeats.
Irregular heartbeat. And so sometimes his heart was racing or whatever. We had the incomparable Ben Bornstein on the show last time, and he broke it all down like the WebMD, physician that he is.
Don't go to WebMD.
He was totally because, I mean, to a
– Don't go to WebMD to find these things out because, I mean, it goes from nothing – like it could be cured with some medicine to you're probably going to die of cancer. So you never go to WebMD for these things, even for a cough.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the Spurs training staff did not go to WebMD, and they did a thorough evaluation. And we talked about this on the last podcast that this is not the first time that LaMarcus has had some kind of issue with an irregular heartbeat. And in his rookie year, he sat out about the last week and a half. With this issue or an issue that was similar to this. He sat about the last week and a half, but then was good to go. And then he sat out again, I think it was in 2011. So, he's had several of these, episodes throughout his career. And it's been about a week and a half or a week in each one of these episodes that he's had to take a pause. And LaMarcus is back. So he's available for the game this evening. And again, it's been about a week. So he's going to play tonight, potentially. I don't know if Pop's actually going to play him, but he is available against the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll see how many minutes he gets in that game if Pop chooses to play him at all. But now the Spurs are theoretically back at full strength. So I want to ask you first, I mean, do you think that there's anything about Portland that gives San Antonio any problems? And in that, if you feel like San Antonio is going to dominate Portland, if you do, do you think that Popovich should just go ahead and sit LaMarcus Aldridge for a little bit more time?
No. He needs conditioning. And he's looked a little bit bigger than I remember him in Portland. So I think you just go with it. If he can go, he just goes, get that conditioning back. I mean, I don't think they had him do any type of cardio. I mean, if the heart's racing, I think they wanted him to sort of, sit out and not really do much. So I would put him out there. You don't really need to. If you dominate, then at least he could play, at least 5-10 minutes. I make it sound like they're just going to come out and score 50 like in the first minute, right? But, you know, if they can dominate and he can play a little bit of minutes, that's fine. But I would still play him. And plus, the fans bought tickets. You don't want to pull a Golden State, right?
Or San Antonio of the past, you know, 20-some-odd years, right?
The Heat don't matter. Heat fans don't matter. 3 or 4 years ago, right? It was like 4 years ago.
Yeah. And I hear that argument, and I don't want to digress off the LaMarcus topic, but I hear that argument. We talked about it a little bit during the last podcast, but you know, I think that any NBA team should have the permission to rest their guys whenever they want to rest their guys. What happened in the last game is something that I completely disagree with, because I think that Golden State missed out on a golden opportunity where, you know, you have to announce your injuries in advance, right? So it's no secret what your lineup is going to be. It's similar to the NFL, right, where you announce your injuries. And the Spurs had announced that, okay, Kawhi's not playing, LaMarcus is not playing. So if you're Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors, you take a look at that and you see how tight it is in the West. I think they missed out on an opportunity to kind of double up their lead on San Antonio. And they don't even have to play everybody. They could have just played, you know, Klay Thompson and Draymond, or, you know, Steph and Draymond, or some combination there. And they would have won that game. No doubt in my mind, because any of those players are going to score 30. You know, maybe you get Draymond with 20 points and either Klay or Steph get a clean 30. And so now you've introduced an additional 50 points onto a team that struggled to score because they had that guy McCaw who took over Kevin Durant's minutes who did nothing. He almost set a record for, you know, most shot attempts without a bucket from the field. It was pretty ridiculous. So I think that Golden State had the opportunity to take advantage of the situation, and they didn't.
I thought you were going to say he broke a record for being most useless on the team or something like that. We could just make a whole episode about this. Who cares? Who cares? They were Golden State fans, right?
Well, I mean,
there's a separate podcast for that, bro.
Well, Golden State should care because, you know, let me tell you that they were back at full strength and they needed everything. Well, I mean, aside from not having Kevin Durant. And we could go on for, you know, days on the problems that's caused with Kevin Durant being out. But it took everything they had to beat the 76ers without Embiid, right? And so, I mean, Golden State did not look good against Philadelphia. And so it's tough to read into one of 82 games, right? And I'm talking about the Philadelphia game with Golden State. But it just seems like if they had... It just seems like they're not as dominant without Kevin Durant. And I think statistics would show that, but just the feel of that team, it feels like they're seriously losing something. Like they're needing great performances. Like Draymond Green had a great game against Philadelphia, and they needed that to beat Philadelphia. Whereas like Draymond, I've always looked at Draymond Green and say, okay, that's a nice guy to have on the team. It's an interesting, you know, personality, and he could do a lot of different things on the court. A good guy to have on your squad. But they needed Draymond Green to beat the freaking 76ers. You know, what does that say about the condition of Golden State? You know, and I say that when they beat the 76ers, they then moved a half a game ahead of San Antonio in the West, and they reclaimed the number one overall seed.
I agree.
Question mark. So
I agree.
Yeah. It's
that's what you say. So I could say it too.
Yeah. So you need to disagree with me from time to time. I mean, you're so in sync with me.
I try to, but then you agree with me again. So
well,
it's a never ending cycle.
Well, let's talk about the playoff seeding because and we won't do the East because that's really not that interesting. I think we know. Well, unless you have a different perspective, but I think we both agree that Cleveland is probably coming out of the East. Agree to disagree? I mean, they're not.
Well,
as
I picked the Raptors, right?
Yeah, you did at the beginning of the season, but that's a team that's fading fast.
They should have kept Scola.
There you go. But out west, by moving a half a game up, Golden State reclaims the overall number one seed. And when I look at San Antonio and, you know, their position about, you know, trying to reclaim that number one seed, I started to raise a question. You know, does San Antonio need to get the number one seed? Do they want the number one seed? Just sort of knowing how the rest of the seeding is going to shake out. And I pose that because, you know, the matchups today are Golden State at the number one seed. They'd play Denver if the playoffs started today. They played Denver in the first round. San Antonio would play Memphis in that first round. Houston with the number 3 seed would play Oklahoma City. And then the Jazz at 4 would play the Clippers at 5. And generally speaking, that's going to be the way that it shakes out. There's quite a bit of distance between the 3 and 4 seed between Houston and Utah. And there's a bit of distance there between LA, a few games between LA and Oklahoma City. So generally the bottom half of the bracket is going to shake out that way. If I look at San Antonio and what their first round matchup is against Memphis, I think that, that certainly favors San Antonio, but you think that they're going to cruise against Memphis or what?
I think so. I mean, they won't have Chandler Parsons. He has something right wrong with them. What is it? His knee? He has like a season ending.
I think he's just, I was going to say a wussy, but with a P. I think that's the problem.
I bet he can outbench you, though. Come on, man. You got to respect the guy. He's a millionaire. He's a 1%.
Yeah. I respect. Yeah, he's a 1%er. Yeah, I respect the $1 million, but you're always injured, right? And this is a guy who's got a Chandler Parsons T-shirt in his closet, right? It's in his repertoire. But I look at Chandler Parsons and just think this guy, he could have been so much more than what he's delivered. I don't think that's an unpopular theory about Chandler Parsons. And so, I don't think he really matters if he was on the team or not. I think that San Antonio cruises in that first round. I mean, they maybe lose a game because Memphis historically has been a challenge. And I think you said in the last podcast, it's not the same Memphis team, but, it's not the same San Antonio team. So they've given challenges in the past. And I reference this. In the past, San Antonio has dominated Memphis because they've used the likes of Matt Bonner, God rest his still living soul, because they stretched the floor with Matt Bonner. They kind of have that same makeup today, depending on if they have David Lee in the game or not. So or even Powell. So I feel like they cruise past Memphis.
I'll disagree with you. I think it was more Thiago Splitter, his effectiveness on the on defense and rebounding, and he was a tenacious, soft guy. So I think he was the reason why. I don't think it was Matt Bonner. I mean, Zebo could have easily demolished him. Same with Marc Gasol. But yeah, the fact they're going to miss Parsons, it's not that same team. They're not coached the same way as they used to be when they were really a tough-nosed team. I think they'll be scrappy. I think Vince Carter will have some shots in him. But other than that, they should be cruising by them.
Well, they have 3 more games against Memphis, San Antonio does this year. The Grizzlies have already beaten San Antonio once in February. February 6th, they beat San Antonio by a pretty big margin, 89-74. And I think we agree that's not a typical San Antonio Spurs game. But, they play on the 18th of this month, they play on the 23rd of this month, and then they play again on April 4th, the last 2 games being in San Antonio. So we'll see how the season series shakes out. But we think that San Antonio passes Memphis. And if you're the second seed and you beat Memphis, what's waiting on you is one of 2 options. You're either playing Oklahoma City, who's the 6th seed, 38-29 of the year, or, which is worse for San Antonio, you have to roll in and play Houston. It's 46-21, the number 3 overall seed. They only have 15 games remaining. They've already played a bunch of games. So Houston is going to have a little bit of a rest. And in my estimation, Houston wins that series, and they might sweep them just because Houston's so much more deep. And with Lou Williams, they're deeper than they even were before. I just don't think that Oklahoma City matches up. Russell Westbrook's going to do great. Houston will put Patrick Beverley on him to neutralize, like keep him to like 25 or 30 points. But Houston's going to beat Oklahoma City in that round. So that's what you look at from, if you're the 2 seed, you've got to go play Memphis, easy series, easy-ish. But then you got to roll in and play Houston, presumably, in that second round. What kind of problems do you think that Houston would pose for San Antonio in that second round?
James Harden.
Right.
That's really about it. I know they'll stretch the floor. I know you're gaga over them. You love Lou Williams. You love that 3-point shooting. But again, you know, the Spurs have that shooting. I think they'll stretch out the floor with their two bigs, Aldridge and Gasol. But the inside game is what's going to really hurt the Rockets. I don't think it's I think it's going to be really a replay of the Suns and the Spurs in 2005. You know, and D'Antoni was coaching that team, but you know, the Spurs, I mean, they're so versatile offensively. Yeah, Kawhi, you know, Kawhi is carrying the burden right now, but when you have such a big mismatch, like how they're going to have against the Rockets in their favor, I think that's going to make everything go well in sync. The defense might, you know, if Harden gets, bless you.
No, I'm falling down. My chair is falling apart. It's been falling apart for weeks. I got these chairs from IKEA and they're kind of like bar stools. Well, they are bar stools. They're not like bar stools. And they've got these screws in all over the place. And I'm looking down below me, and I see like four of these screws laying on the ground. They just periodically start falling out. There's going to be a show where I sit in this chair, and the whole chair just disintegrates underneath me, and you make fun of me for being fat.
Probably. But yeah, my chair broke too. It's my Money in the Bank 2002. Chair.
Oh, you know, bought one of those?
The floor seats.
Yeah,
the floor seats get the chair. So
and mine broke today. Talking Stick Walking Casino Resort.
Talking Stick Hotel. Resort Arena.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, well, I forgot what we were talking about. Oh, but the Spurs. Houston. The Spurs are gonna they'll have, you know, the mismatch in their favor. Defensively, they'll always have somebody in the paint unless James Harden gets, you know. 10, you know, if he shoots 20 free throws, then, yeah. You know, I think the Spurs will be in trouble. But if they can just have him beat them, really, I mean, play that pick and roll and let him get tired and then attack him on the other side of the floor, I don't think they'll have a problem.
Well, see, I almost have the exact opposite opinion of this series from you, which makes good podcasting, right? But I think that the Spurs, again, can neutralize James Harden. Ish, right? I mean, you put Danny Green on him or you put Kawhi on him. I'm not really sure what Popovich wants to do. He'd probably put Danny Green on him so that Kawhi could stay a little bit fresher on the offensive end. And you know, you hold James Harden at like 30 points or 30-something points. The difference, I think, is actually the front court play because, you know, the Rockets have both Nene and Clint Capella, both of which are way more athletic than Powell and LaMarcus. I think the best option for San Antonio would be to have Deadman. I mean, I know Deadman's starting right now, but have Deadman play significant minutes and then potentially some David Lee. Because Clint Capella is ridiculously athletic. And Nene, despite being, you know, 200 years old, is still more athletic than a Pau Gasol. Now, the Spurs are more skilled in the front court position. There are front court positions. No doubt about it. But the front court is what sort of scares me about the Houston Rockets versus San Antonio.
I can't believe I just heard you try to convince everybody that Nene, or who did you say, Nene? Is that who they have?
Nene. They have Clint
is Capella more well. Athletic than LaMarcus Aldridge. No. I'll give them Capella, but other than that, no. And I mean, he's one-dimensional.
More athletic? I mean, I don't know, man. Let's put him through the combine. I think he is, for sure. I think there's no question about that.
Oh, I can question it. Doesn't mean I'm right, but I'll question it.
So there is a
I'm
question.
I'm fighting for what is right, okay?
Right, right. No,
if you want to be the heel, in this, you know, I'll be the baby face.
I don't, because people already, the listeners of the show already think that I hate San Antonio, so I don't want to dig into that too much, but
the things you told me off recording.
I was recording the whole time. Maybe we'll release some of that. But you know, the point being that San Antonio, if you're the second seed in the West, because there's such a distance between 2 and 3 that it's either Golden State or San Antonio going to be 1 or 2. Houston is going to be 3. It's not necessarily a lock right now because they could get the second seed, but there's such a big distance. I mean, there's 6 games in the win column. Between 2 and 3. There's 7 games in the loss column between 2 and 3. That's a lot when you only have 15 games left in the year, right, to make up. So it looks like it's going to be Golden State or San Antonio at 1 and 2 and then Houston at 3.
It depends, though. I mean, if Golden State loses 4 – what did they lose, 4 in a row? If they go through that again and Houston just plays like mad – they play like madmen – I think you – I mean, three games back, I still think – you know, because it's going to leave a lot of questions for Kerr. Do you play all – you know, your main guys that you try to rest early on, especially against San Antonio, do you play them that whole stretch and, you know, give them these boatload of minutes to try to, you know, clinch the first or second seed? I mean, it's going to be trouble, but I think they can get into that trouble because, like how you mentioned, there's really something missing, and I think that's Bogut, because I think they can play the same way if they had Bogut, if they had Barbosa. They don't really have a bench. If you notice, they're really – and I might be blasphemous in this depending on who you ask, they're really the 2004 Lakers. They have four guys that can play really well, but outside of that, you know, you have Slava Medvedenko and all these other guys that you really don't know, McCaw, other than, you know, so I mean, they're really relying on those guys. So you're seeing them exposed as far as, you know, their depth.
Now, are you looking on a roster? How did you come up with Slava Medvedenko?
That's the only one I remember from that. Well, Derek Fisher was on there, right?
So. Yeah, of course, of course. Well, so what I'm suggesting, my hypothesis here, is that San Antonio really needs that first seed. And it's great that they're playing the way that they are. They need Golden State to go on a bit of a losing streak ahead of Kevin Durant coming back. Because, you know, I think when Kevin Durant comes back, they're going to be fine. In the playoffs, I mean, he's going to come back and maybe have a couple games left in the season. Or like I said in the last podcast, even if they get to the first round, they could win their first round matchup without Kevin Durant. If they're playing Denver like they are slated to now, or if they were playing Memphis as the 2 versus 7, they could win that round without Kevin Durant playing. So they'll get up to full strength. My challenge is that second round. I just don't want San Antonio to play Houston, and I really think that Golden State does not want to play Houston either with the scoring opportunities that and really scoring and assisting that James Harden can do. I mean, James Harden has totally retooled his game, and he's leading the league in assists per game. He's got 11.2 assists per game. There's not a Golden State Warrior in the top five in that category. At points per game, you know, he's at 29.1. There's not a Golden State Warrior in that category. So James Harden is going to give Golden State fits. I feel like San Antonio is in a better position to neutralize James Harden, but they still don't want to even get in that matchup. The easier road to the Western Conference Finals, which it kind of goes without saying, but it's out of that one seed just because of the way that the rest of the playoffs is going to match up. So I think San Antonio really needs to get that number one seed, and Golden State really needs to get that one seed. You know, if you fall short, I think that's your first loss in the playoffs.
I'll disagree with you to an extent, and you know why you always say Houston. You know, yeah, it's that Chandler Parsons shirt that you have in your closet.
It's my Houston tattoo.
But, you know, I think it's equally important to mention that if San Antonio, okay, if they get that one seed, let's say they beat the Nuggets or whoever, you know, bumps up or bumps down to that seeding, then the next round it's going to be either Utah or the Clippers, how they are right now. The Clippers are going to be a nightmare matchup for the Spurs. They always are. Mm-hmm. I really don't know why. I think Pop still plays them the same way. I think that's the problem. I don't think he really changes his defense against them. I think he should, you know. Though that's another podcast, that's another episode in its entirety. But you know, if I think it was the game before that they played, it was the Jazz against the Clippers, and the Jazz really gave them fits. They defeated the Clippers, I think so, right? But you know, I just heard that there was trash talk and all that. So I mean, if Utah can get over the Clippers and in San Antonio and Utah, I think that's an extremely better matchup for San Antonio, and it would be the easier path to the finals. The only really big matchup would be the Western Conference Finals, and against the East, I think the Spurs would have the easy edge.
You're talking if it ended up being Spurs Utah.
Yeah, I think they would handle Utah very well.
I agree with you. They're so much more skilled than Utah. Even though it's the return of Boris Diaw, right? They're still more skilled than Utah. And you even think of the front court play. Rudy Gobert is amazing, amazing player. But he's not as skilled as Powell. He's not as seasoned as Powell. I mean, I look at it and say, you know, it's like, again, draw back a Houston reference. It's, you know, Akeem Olajuwon putting some moves on Patrick Ewing, right? It's like the better athlete is just getting, or even Akeem Shaq. Like, you know, Shaq was, this is probably a better reference. Shaq was so dominant from an athletic position, you know, at that time. And, you know, Hakeem, and I'm talking about in the finals there, Hakeem just made him look like he was a JV player because of his skill. And I think that's what you get, you know, in San Antonio. And either of their big men are so much better skilled and more seasoned than what you have with Utah at all positions, frankly, that that I think that's a pretty easy series win for San Antonio, just like you.
I was waiting for that whole Olajuwon David Robinson type of example since you're on this Houston roll. I thought you were going to bring that up.
I'm just about throwbacks in general. I mean, today, I don't know what it is. Today, I'm feeling nostalgic. Just feeling very nostalgic.
I'm always nostalgic. So, well, no, you know what? Not really. I don't remember anything before I started working out. So that loser I was in high school, I don't even remember
you just totally shut that guy out of your mind.
Yeah, the guy that used to hang out by the trash can with three of his friends. Nope, can't remember that guy.
Wow. Okay, so a peek behind the curtain into Mr. Grijalva's life prior to this podcast and prior to leg pressing 1,000 pounds.
That's where I get my motivation.
Well, I we could go a little bit around the NBA, but we might save that for Friday because we got big announcements on Friday, and I think we're going to do another pod. But for 436, I mean, let's look briefly at this. I mean, we got no big stories, but you got Kevin Love coming back, and I think that's probably the biggest of all the stories that, you know, that are circling around the NBA. Kevin Love comes back. Certainly, that completes the Cavaliers roster. They've been on a bit of a slide without him, of course, winning their last game. But, you know, they're 44-22 overall. They're sort of the best of the East. But, you know, Boston's now right on their heels. Kevin Love coming back now, and that's, you know, in the next 7-10 days. They've got 16 games remaining. That's enough time for Kevin Love to get back in the mix and get back in the rotation and start feeling good again, right, before the playoffs?
Oh, I think so. Just because in that system, he's not the guy that he used to be as far as running the offense around him. He's really a spot-up shooter, post-up sometimes depending on the matchup, and rebound. You know, you don't really need to get into a groove for that. He's the more expensive Channing Frye, I think, with more skill. Wow. So, yeah, it's enough to get him back.
You know, I saw this other stat this morning, you know, when I was on the Stairmaster, when you were doing 1,000-pound, you know, leg presses. I was there just on the Stairmaster just jamming. And I look at SportsCenter, and I see that LeBron posted his 10th triple-double of the season, and that's a career high. Doesn't that seem really low? I mean, the benefit of – and this is also why I don't think LeBron James, although he's always in the MVP mix, he can't be the MVP this year because his value of his game is that he does everything, right? Assists, rebounds, makes some shots, plays decent defense, sort of all-around facilitator, just makes things move. The dude has 10 triple doubles this year, and that's his career high. That pales in comparison to what Russell Westbrook's done, right? I mean, clearly it does, but doesn't it seem like 10 triple doubles in a year is really low for the future Hall of Famer there, LeBron James?
Oh, I think it's low considering who he has around him. You know, a lot of the flack that Westbrook gets is because, you know, they don't have anybody to rebound and dish out assists, so he has to do it, plus he has to score. I mean, with LeBron, he should be getting these triple-doubles easily with that crew, but he just doesn't push himself to do it. So, you know, I think he has the talent, and I think he has the skill to be the MVP every year. Mm-hmm. But as far as only him only having 10 with that lineup, championship lineup, I think he should have more. So I'm all for him not being the MVP.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Just because if the value in his candidacy for the MVP is his statistics, right, and these triple doubles, and that you can't. There's not even a comparison. I mean, Russell Westbrook's tripled him up in that category, right? He's got 30 plus. So I think 33 triple doubles for the most of all time. So if it's just stats on stats, it's no question LeBron James can't be your MVP.
But the guy with no triple doubles this season, Kawhi Leonard should be the MVP. So
yeah, I mean, for me, it's between, and we'll probably do a breakdown of this, but for me, there's no question about it. I know people are talking Russell Westbrook or James Harden. You know, for me, it's still James Harden just because of the way he's changed his game. You know, Kawhi might be Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, and he's in my mind, a very close second for MVP. There's no talk about Russell Westbrook in my household anymore. There's no talk about James Harden. It's either LeBron James. It's either James Harden or Kawhi Leonard. For me, that's it. End of story.
It's either the Spur or the Rocket. What a surprise, sir.
Well, no, I mean, it's just those two are doing something special this year. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is having his best year ever. I mean, one of the most complete seasons of Spur. I'd love to see if there's some kind of evaluation criteria. You know me, I'm big into the numbers, right? But if there's some type of evaluation criteria that could be done at the end of the year to assess, is this the best year a Spur has ever had? And you know, there's some ridiculous year. I tweeted out a couple of things about Tim Duncan. And it's particularly Tim Duncan in the finals. The statistics, I think, was the best finals anybody has ever had. I can't remember what year it was, but it's the best finals anybody has ever had in the NBA finals ever. You know, it was these numbers were ridiculous. I mean, he had like 5 blocks a game average in the finals. And you know, he's had some ridiculous regular seasons in terms of statistics. And he's the only other guy that I can think of in those terms. This may be the best year a Spur has ever had. Most complete year that a Spurs ever had in Kawhi Leonard's season. So I'd love to see if there was some type of comparative metric that could put those two against each other this year.
You're talking about that 2003 season, right? The 2003, yeah. And I mean, for them to win the NBA championship, I think Kawhi has to play like Duncan at that point. Because remember, Duncan had, I mean, he had a really, I don't want to say immature, but a really young cast. Ginobili was in, that was his rookie season. That was Parker's second season. As far as paint, helping the paint, he had the likes of Kevin Willis, Malik Rose, guys who weren't really that efficient, you know, all around. Steven Jackson. With his great performance against the Mavs. But other than that, I mean, he really didn't have somebody that's consistent. And that's what we might be seeing this season if the Spurs reach the NBA Finals and win a championship. I think he'll have to play the same way.
Well, I would agree. And I'm also including it seems like I'm throwing a lot of shade on LaMarcus Aldridge, and maybe I am. But if he gets to – he's 17-7 this year. And, you know, when we talked about LaMarcus Aldridge as far as a free agent – acquisition, you know, I guess we thought our sights were higher than that because we were, oh, he's like a Tim Duncan and he can just fit right in. And, you know, he kind of does the same thing that Tim Duncan does, and except on the defensive end, we weren't so sure. So LaMarcus Aldridge is 17-7 and he's kind of always been that way. I mean, he's like a 19-8, you know, overall. And, you know, it's not much different than the performance that he's putting in this year. His career averages aren't that different. But if he's at that level, I mean, that's special, right? I mean, that's great. But that's not – that's good. But that's not great. 17-7 is not – I mean, there's a lot of guys giving you 17-7, right?
I think you mean that he has to – you know, if he get – I think what you mean is if he gets those 17-7, it has to be in a way where he's getting the attention of the defense, right? Like, it can't be 17-7 off of what Kawhi is doing. He has to get that 17-7,
yeah,
you know, and contribute like a number one option. That's right. What you're saying, right?
It's got to be his. And yeah, exactly. He's got to get, if he's going to do 17-7 or like around there. I mean, I'd love to see him score north of 20, of course. But I mean, even if he dipped down and went like 15-7, 15-8, or if he focused more on the defensive end, it could do 15-10. But it was a complete 15-10 where you're really just dropping. Again, it's like four down. You know, if they ran 4 down plays and, you know, it was his offensive possession, he could get those 15 off of like, you know, 10 shots or something. I mean, that would be great. That would be great basketball for a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. But I don't want to see like tip-ins and stuff. You know, I don't want to see that. That's not impressive. But that's how we score in now.
I mean, and at the same time, there's really not that ball movement to get, you know, to get him the ball. He's not really comfortable backing guys down. He always goes to the middle, you know, instead of trying to do a little quick spin move to the baseline and for an open layup or a dunk. So, I don't think really the offense is there. I think Kawhi's great offense is hindering him. Is hindering Pop from really trying to meet them both halfway. I mean, if you remember with Phil, Kobe, and Shaq, I mean, that triangle offense, if Shaq didn't have the shot in that same scheme, Kobe try to get a shot, and vice versa. In this scheme, it's not the same. You know, Kawhi's up at the top of the key. He's going to try to create his own shot. If he doesn't have that shot, then they can't really go to LaMarcus right away. They have to really switch everything up, you know, move guys around. And I think that's hindering him. So, but yeah, you know, as long as he's a little bit more aggressive from and tries to think outside the box from the offense, I think they'll be okay. But yeah, I agree. He needs to have that 17-7 from him making those shots instead of playing around other guys.
There you go. Well, the good news is he's back healthy, and he can start molding himself into that guy that we need him to be starting today if he needed to. And he's going to do it against his old team if Pop makes him available. So tonight, which would be Wednesday night, I'm not sure when this goes up, but Wednesday night, Spurs, Blazers. You got any predictions for the game score-wise?
As in final score?
Yeah.
Spurs, Blazers? 110 to 80, Spurs.
I was going to say something like that, like 110, 114 to 90 something. So, all right, man. Well, good deal. And NCAA tournament starts tomorrow. I know the Spurs cast brackets are all in, ready, locked and loaded. So we'll see the winner of that thing. But that's it, man. That's it for this episode. 436 of the Spurs cast. Thank you everybody for sticking with us for another episode. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Follow us or follow any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Go over to projectspurs.com. Jose, thank you, man. And you listeners, you're welcome.